Take our Bibles this evening. We're going to turn again to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to try to finish up our subject from last week. In Ephesians chapter 5, we were looking at, we started at verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." And then in verse 11 it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." And then in verse 15, it gives us then some instruction. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Then after that, I believe that the Bible has given us some evidences of being filled with the Spirit. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And then it continues on talking about family life. And so I believe in the context, it was saying you're not supposed to walk in darkness. We are now children of light, so we should act like it. We should be a person that evidences that light has come into our life. And one of the evidences then is redeeming the time, walking circumspectly. And what is the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is that we should be filled with the Spirit. And last week we mentioned that idea of being filled with the Spirit, it's a passive, the verbiage is in the passive. That means that the Holy Spirit is doing the work, which I am thankful for. It's not something that I have to work up and say, "Well, come on, fill me, fill me, fill me." All right, the Holy Spirit does that work. But it's also in the present tense. This filling is something continual. It's being filled. All right, so every day I have to come and say, "God, I need your guidance." Every day I've got to come to him when it's in the case of my family. Every day I've got to be there saying, "God, give me what I need today." When it comes to my work, every day I've got to be going, "God, I need your Spirit's guidance." That's what we've gotten away from in our society, and we've gotten away from that in Christianity. We think, you know what, I can do it on my own. You know what? I got character. I got integrity. And I believe in integrity and I believe in character. But that alone will not suffice as far as your Christian walk. What we have to do is be filled daily. And when you're filled daily, that was what we came to in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart, or in your heart to the Lord. There was a 4-year-old boy, his name was Jimmy, maybe Jimmy Hunt, but he was thrilled when the family got a piano. And so little Jimmy Hunt got on the piano, and he started pounding away on the keys. He thought maybe he was, we were speaking about music, maybe he was Ray something. But he was pounding away, he had his sunglasses on, he was going back and forth. So little Jimmy was pounding away on the keys, and then finally he was frustrated. Got frustrated, and he says, "It's no use. Jesus Loves Me isn't in the keys." Now the moral of the story is that Jimmy learned, you get out of the piano what you put in. All right, that's the moral of the story there. But I think sometimes when it comes to Christian music, you get out of it what you put in. So that means in our worship service, all right, when we're singing praise to the Lord, you know what, you get out of it what you put into it. So when you're sitting there, you know, "It just wasn't good tonight. Just didn't got one there." Well, sing. Sing a little bit. All of a sudden, man, you start enjoying it. But also, that also it also is true with the choir and the band and with the specials. That's one reason. Last week we talked about it's not to the praise of man. Remember, our singing is not to the praise of man. But one thing about saying amen after a special is I really appreciate the work that's put in. And that's not carnal. That's actually being grateful because you're not doing it. All right, I'm glad somebody puts in a lot of time. And there's a lot of time and effort. And you know what? It shows then in our praise to the Lord. It's a lot of effort that goes into singing and the practices here. So last week, and we'll continue on. We want to we have to finish our message, right? So we said we wanted a couple things that's evidence of wrong music, because out of this verse, in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. What we get from this is that a life that is spirit-filled is a life that is praise-filled. And it's the right type of praise. It's the right type of spiritual music. So we wanted to look at what is wrong music and what is right music. Well, with wrong music, the first thing we looked at last week was the purpose of wrong music is to praise man. Praising man is the wrong type of music. If it's all about the people, if it's all about the musicians and, oh man, did you see them? And this is what, adults, maybe if your teenagers come to you, this could be a question. If they come to you and say, hey, Pastor Dameron said we should research bad music. All right. I'm not saying that you should research bad music, maybe just a little clip. All right. But, what you'll see is when you watch some of the bad musicians, the CCM as we call it, the contemporary Christian artists, and they're up there, and here are the strobe lights, and they're out there, they got the long hair, they're strumming across there, and everybody's like, whoo! That just doesn't seem like they're praising God. It sure seems like they're praising that musician there. Oh, and then afterwards, oh, what a beautiful voice. Oh, that was awesome. They're not really talking about Christ. It's praising man. That is the wrong purpose of music. And we'll see that in our right, in the right type of music. So the wrong music, the purpose of wrong music is to praise man. And we mentioned a couple of them. Remember Michael W. Smith, his albums, Change Your World, 2,819 words, Jesus Occurs, zero. Michael W. Smith's album, I'll Lead You Home, has 2,046 words, Jesus Occurs, zero. Michael W. Smith's album, Live the Life, has over 1,100 words, Jesus Occurs, zero. And yet, he's one of the ones last weekend, they had a big evangelical thing in D.C., and he's there lifting it up. All right, but you don't even talk about Jesus. Is the only person he wants to lift up is himself. And most of the CCM artists, they may verbally say, you know what, it's all about Jesus and praising his name. But they rarely praise him. In fact, one of the people we mentioned is a lot of bands, the reason they get so turned off is because you have to put the word Jesus in every line. This was an artist, a CCM artist. The reason so many people get turned off is you got to put Jesus in every line. That's why so many bands are almost anti-Jesus in their lyrics, even though they're Christians. Actually, if they're anti-Jesus, they're not Christian. Duh. All right, I don't know what school he went to. I'm glad he's not one of our graduates. All right, so what's the wrong music? The wrong music, it praises man. Secondly, the wrong music claims to evangelize the lost. You say, oh, wait a minute, that's good. All right, follow me here. There was a book, I think it's, and I wanted to mention in the back, all right, I have a yellow piece of paper. We have some sitting in the back pew. We also have them on the tables back there. Because we're speaking on music, I made up a list, and Steve Brady, Dr. Vogelin, they helped me out with this. We made up a list of music resources. There's a couple of sermons on sermon audio that I think are good. There's some books there. Then there's a couple of YouTube videos there that I think will be helpful if you want to do some more research on it. And what you'll find is there'll be a little bit of difference. In fact, there's a pastor, Pastor Montgomery, and I have his a sermon recommended. And he preached at Mount Zion Baptist Camp, and that's actually the message. He preached on godly music. And we actually differ a little bit, all right? He says that music shouldn't be, basically music shouldn't be used for edification. I technically believe that, all right? And I think biblically it's proven. And what you'll find, if we're adults sitting here, we should be able to go to Scripture and be able to understand it. And guess what? There's going to be a little bit of difference, but I could almost guarantee Pastor Montgomery and myself, we sit down, we like godly music. Okay? You should be adult enough that you should be able to read some books and be able to identify some things. And if some questions come up, then ask us. All right? But the reason we're giving you some resources is because you should be educated in the area of music. If you're not educated, that means you're ignorant. And if you're ignorant, that means the devil's going to come in and he's going to sweep you away with stupid music. And I can tell you this, there's some young people in our church, I can almost guarantee it, Pastor Parrish can tell you this, there's some young people and they're listening to bad music. You know why? I see it on your face. Because bad music is rebellious music. And rebellious music is the devil's music, and that comes into your heart, and you're anti-authority, you're anti-church, you're anti-anything that's good, and I'm telling you, you're listening to the wrong music, because it's not filling you up with the Spirit. Oh, it's a spirit, all right, but it's another one. And when the world's music and CCM music, when it fills you up with self, there's something wrong with it. So the wrong music, or the wrong Christian, we'll put quotes around it, the wrong Christian music claims to evangelize the lost. One of the books on here is a book by Garlock, Frank Garlock and Kurt Wurtzel? A Wart. All right, I'll just call them by Frank Garlock and a Wart, okay? But these two guys came together, and it's Music in the Balance. And they interviewed a whole bunch of CCM people. And this is what's interesting. When they interviewed them, over two-thirds of the CCM artists said that they are singing this way to evangelize the lost. Over two-thirds. What's interesting is that only three of the CCM artists said that they were singing to praise the Lord. Right. They said the purpose, the two-thirds of them said the purpose is to evangelize the lost. Out of all of them, and it was hundreds of groups that they interviewed, only one group had a verse of Scripture to back anything up. Part of it is that they'd have to read their Bible. Right? But here, 66 or two-thirds, not 66, but two-thirds, stated evangelism as their goal. And only a couple of them said praise is one of their goals. But what's interesting, this is what I challenge you. Look in the Bible and you will never find music used as a means of reaching the lost. Never. Now, it may be a byproduct. All right, now how do I say that? Look at Psalm chapter 40. Look at Psalm chapter 40. All right, in Psalm chapter 40, I think it's Psalm 40. I'm hoping I'm finding the right one. Oh, yeah. All right, look at Psalm 40, verse 1. I thought this was interesting. Look at, and remember, the Bible, the verbiage in the Bible is specific. God doesn't mince words. He does. It's not by accident that something was in the Bible. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry. What did he do? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. Now look what he did. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Notice what it says here. Many shall what? No, wait. Didn't it say, I mean, it's music, right? Many shall what? Hear it, right? Is that what the Bible says? Many shall what? Because you know what happens when you have the right music? People see it. They see it. There's no accidents in Scripture. And so right music has a way about it that you can see. It looks different. It looks different. Notice what the Bible says. When I get a new song, it looks different even. It doesn't just sound different, it looks different. And so don't tell me that a CCM artist that is looks like a hippie that's on drugs and alcohol and scooting around or rapping like these rap stars and all that and hanging out with them, don't tell me that he's found Christ. Because what I see is the world. That's what I see. And to me, it's ridiculous to say that some CCM artist, oh, you don't know that it's about their heart. No, the Bible says I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. And so maybe a byproduct, and that's why I use this. God puts a new song in my mouth and praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Maybe a byproduct is that they see your life and they see the change in your life. They see it. They don't just hear it, they see it and they come to the knowledge of our Savior. Hey, that might be a byproduct. But you know what? I'm not out in this world. The Bible never commands me. Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, didn't say, go out into all the world and sing like a little freak and a sissy. That's not what the Bible tells me. It says, I'm preaching what? The gospel. And when they were there, remember at the day of Pentecost, did Peter get up and they're like, hey, what are we supposed to do? Just a minute. Just a minute, man. Like, you know what? The other day I was thinking about. Now, he didn't start rapping about Jesus dying on the cross. That's not what he did. Guess what he said? You know it. They said, what are we supposed to do? We're pricked. Our consciences. We can't deal with this. What do we do, Peter? Sing, repent. That's my command. My command is not to make the cross of Christ palatable to a sinner. Because in fact, the Bible says, then it's going to be foolishness. And so for these rock musicians, as I call them, and they can put the term Christian on it if they want, but they're a rock musician. And a rock musician to claim that, you know, we're just doing this to evangelize. We're trying to evangelize America. Well, tell me how you're doing. Oh, so America has tons of saved people now. No. And you know that's not true. And in fact, what's the claim for Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith and all these other guys, even the new guys that are out there? What's their claim? Their claim is that, hey, you know what? We're trying to make a bridge. As one author said, and I loved it, there's no bridge. Or if it is, it's one way. And it's one way from Christianity straight to the world. Because you know what? They're not getting unsaved people into our churches. What they're doing is they're getting our young people out of the church into the world. And they're going to these stupid big box churches, and eventually the next generation, they're not even going to church anymore. Because Christianity is a bunch of hypocrisy to them. Because guess what they see? Hey, you know what? If these guys are going to jam it out, and if it's like okay to jam it out, this is the way I would be. I might as well have the good stuff. Because these guys are, wow, are they bad. So if I'm going to jam it out, I might as well go get the good stuff. Because these guys rot. That's the way I would be. So wrong music, you will not find it. And that's why I challenge you. You look at the Bible, study it. You will not find that Christ anywhere says to go evangelize with music. It's not there. It's supposed to preach. All right, now I understand that we can share our testimony and that we should go soul winning and things like that. But specifically, what did Jesus command us to do? To preach. To reach the lost in the area of soul winning and testifying. All right, and I'm not saying that we can't have a service and a song can't bless somebody's heart. But that is not the original intent. The original intent of my music in our service is not to reach the lost. It's to praise God. So wrong music praises man. Wrong music supposedly is evangelizing lost, and they're not doing a good job at that. Then wrong music promotes sensualism. So how can I say that? Let me give you some examples. And again, we have some books, we have other things. I'm just going to breeze through some of this. Sensualism. There's lots of folks, there's lots of authors that have documented the immorality that permeates CCM music. It's evident in the sexuality of its music, in the immodesty of its dress, in the broken marriages, in the don't tell me how to live attitude. Consider this. Divorce is rampant in CCM world. Divorce. All right, here's a few. Steve Camp, Bob Carlisle, Ralph Carmichael, Eddie DeGarmo, Michael English, Amy Grant, Stacy Jones, Ray Bolts, Dana Key, Mylon LeFevre, Sandy Patty, Kevin Prosh, Randy Thomas, John Michael Talbot, Greg Volz, Sheila Walsh, J.C. Velasquez, Wayne Watson, Larry Norman, Randy Stonehill, Denise Williams, all of them divorced. Oh, wow, good people. Not losers. All right, and you're going to get up there and say that, you know what, it's just, oh, just, you know, Christianity, we're trying to promote, we're trying to evangelize. What, bad families? It's not working for you. Now, consider this, the rapidly growing acceptance of homosexuality. 1998, CCM star Kirk Franklin said that homosexuality is a problem today in gospel music. 1998, Marcia Stevens, author of the famous song. Oh man, this hurt me. This hurt me when I found this out. Remember, come to the water. And for those tears I die. I mean, that was like a song that changed your life. All right. But then Marcia Stevens, listen to this. She was co-founder of a movement called Children of the Day, first contemporary Christian music group. She left her husband, listen, in 1979. Because she had fallen in love with a woman. She started her own label called BALM. Born Again Lesbian Music. 1979. How godly is that music? That you, now it's okay to be involved in sodomy? She performed between 150 and 200 concerts a year for Christians. Stephen, there's a man, Mark Allen Powell, professor of New Testament at Trinity Lutheran Seminary, an author of an encyclopedia of contemporary Christian music, says that this lady's music should be recommended in your church. Teaches in a school. In a seminary saying, hey, this lady's good. Oh, no, 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 no. The last I checked, her life is an abomination. In 2002, Marcia Stevens attended a Bill Gaither homecoming concert with her lesbian lover, and Gaither made a point of telling the crowd that she was there singing her song. After the concert, Gaither and Mark Lowry had their photo taken with Marcia and her lesbian lover. Lowry told Stevens that he was proud of her and that he wished that the fundamentalists would find Jesus. They're going to have a lot to answer for, leaving out people that Jesus died for. Really? I guess you didn't read Romans. I guess you didn't read in Corinthians where you're supposed to come out from among them and be separate. I guess you didn't read in Thessalonians and in 1 John that if somebody doesn't agree with the doctrine, have no company with them. Open up your Bible, Gaither. That's what silliness is out there. Other CCM artists who have come out as homosexuals, Ray Bolts, Anthony Williams, Kirk Talley, Clay Aiken, Doug Pinnock, Amy Ray, Emily Salyers of Indigo, Vicky Beeching, Jennifer Knapp, Sandy Patty in 2013 performed with the homosexual Turtle Creek Corral. It's rampant today. So guess what CCM music does? It tears your morals down because it's sensual. It promotes blatant immorality and open sex. That's what's wrong with CCM music. Because what is it doing? It's reaching out to the world and taking their music and saying it's not going to affect us. Well, tell me it didn't affect you. When there's a whole bunch of you now that are sodomites. Well, I'm thinking it affected them. And so, what does wrong music do? Wrong music praises man. Wrong music claims to evangelize the lost. And wrong music promotes sensualism. So what does right music do? Right music praises the Lord. That's what it does. So let me read you some verses from the Bible. All right, a lot of these are in Psalm, in the book of Psalms. If you want to jot some down, Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9:2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. Psalm 9:11, sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Psalm 13:6, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 18:49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 21:13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thy own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, 33:3. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King. Sing praises 4 times in one verse. And I have a lot more verses. Guess what the Bible is instructing us? Right music praises God. It praises God. I'm glad that we're careful with our music. I'm glad that we're cautious with our music. We want to make sure that it's praising God. And there's other things, and I'm glad that we have guys that study it and they look at it. But you know what? Ultimately, we are trying to praise God. It's not about ourselves. It's not about trying to evangelize the lost. No, it's praising God. And when we find out, when we draw closer to God, and when we understand how holy he is and how righteous he is, then I'm going to be careful in how I lift up my voice. Because he is holy. He's righteous. Right music praises God. We said also that, and there's a lot of other verses. What is, and think about this, I have a couple of things here. Worldly music, and this is again going back, but because right music praises God, right, CCM music, what is it following? What is it saying? It's saying that the world's music, we can use that because it's the lyrics, Right? Have you ever heard that? It's the lyrics. So all we're mimicking is the world's way. All right, so what does the world's music do? Listen to this, and I can't read all of them. Most of us have heard of black metal or heavy metal. It's filled with blasphemy. It says the Nazarene will fester in hell. That's words from a group called Onslaught. A group called Merciful Fate. I deny Jesus Christ, the deceiver. A group called Acheron. Cursed Nazarene. Do nothing, King. Sacred Reich. Another group. There is no truth to the Holy Cross. A group called Immolation says God is love and his love is dead. A group called Deicide, deny resurrection, behead the Nazarene son. Oh, you know what? I guess I want to mimic them. How stupid. I want to mimic that. I want my music to mirror that. How ridiculous. And you then come to me and claim that you're trying to reach those people. I want to show them difference. I want to show them my Savior. And they're not going to find their Savior when I'm mirroring their music. How ridiculous. Kanye West is a rapper. On the cover of Rolling Stone magazine in 2006, he appeared as a thorn-crowned Jesus. On the cover of Rolling Stone, a rapper. And so now I've got to have Christian rap? Rapper called this Kanye West. His 2013 album was called Yeezus. Y-E-E-Z-U-S. What do you think he's trying to make fun of? His name is called Yeezy. All right, so guess what he's calling himself? The cover art for the album depicts West being crowned king by angels. Jesus. And in the song he raps, I am a God. I just talked to Jesus and he said, what's up, Jesus? Blasphemy. And then we're going to mimic rap? Not going to mimic it. And these guys wonder. If you read, and you can look up the artist, and one man, I think it's Cloud, documented over 2,600 rock musicians and how they died. Almost everyone died an early, awful death. And these guys, Christians, you want to mirror that life? And say, you know what, we're just trying to reach him. I don't want to, you know what that guy needs to do? You know what Jesus needs to do? He needs to bow before Jesus Christ. He needs to humble himself and understand. You're not talking about just a human being here. You're talking about the God of this universe that came down and died on a cross for your sin. For you to be able to get up and say that nonsense. Jesus died for that. I'm not gonna promote some rap artist, some Christian rap artist that's mimicking these ridiculous guys that are out there. A whole bunch of these guys. Jay-Z mocks Jehovah God. He calls him Hova. And guess what he calls himself? Jehovah. I'm sorry, but that punk someday, if he doesn't turn, the Bible is true. He will burn in damnation. That's where he's going to end up. And he can call out, and I think that will happen, because that memory of the song, that's the idea of the worm dying not. And the worm dying not, he's going to remember rapping Jehovah. And it's going to be there for eternity.
and these Christian artists who want to mimic worldly music, they're going to answer before God if they're saved. They're going to answer before God as that man sits in hell and he's burning for eternity. And God's going to say, why did you do that? You thought you were going to save Jay-Z? You thought you were going to save Kanye West? By taking Jesus Christ and mocking him by using worldly music? Nah, Christian music, guess what it does? Praises the Savior. And when my heart, when my spirit is lined up with Jesus, with God, according to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm filled with the Spirit, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to sing spiritual songs. And those songs are going to be praising Jesus. Did you notice in our text there in Ephesians 5, notice what it says, I'm singing and making melody in my heart to who? To the Lord. My songs praise God. My songs praise Him. So the right Christian music, I'm trying to find my place here, stuff everywhere. Right Christian music praises God, but then Christian music is in the congregation. I didn't write down all the verses, I'm sorry, but there is verses in the Psalms that it talks about praising the Lord in the congregation. And one of my points then that I'm trying to draw to you, right music is sung in church. Now, it's not saying that in your house you can't sing hymns and you can't, but this is what the world says. The world says that, hey, you know what? We're trying to go out, and basically they have a concert in a nightclub. Mm-mm. No. Read it biblically. You know what? We call it congregational singing. Because guess what? We praise God in the congregation. That's what right music. Right music, godly music isn't found in a nightclub, just so you know. That's not where you go to find it. I'm not going out there, and maybe some of the guys are like, you know what? Hey, I need, maybe, you know, Steve Brady, I need a number for my mixed octet. You know what? I'm heading down to Leroy's. You know, I heard they got a band down there, and he goes in there, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's good. All right, and so the next Sunday he's coming up, and I got a new one. Yes, yeah, a little remix on Greatest High Faithfulness. Negative. Because guess what? We don't go down to Leroy's to find godly music. I come to God's house. And in God's house, that's where we find godly music. And guess where these guys are going? They're going out to the world to find their music. Wrong way. Come to God's house. Spend some time on your knees. Did you ever hear of some of these guys and how they write songs? Well, look it up sometime. It's ridiculous. It's about as bad as a Tom Amanza story. All right? I'm telling you, man. If you ever hear of his stories, you're like, man, what in the world? He's seeing visions and dreams and all these type of things. I'm like, where did you come from? He's an Amanza, all right? But man, some of these guys, you know, like, yeah, I was out there and I was on a lake on a boat, man, and I was trying to fish. And I missed it. And then the hook was there and I'm hooked on Jesus. And I'm like, what in the world? I go, oh, wow, is that spiritual? It's ridiculous how some of these guys find songs. Christian music is found in a good local church. That's where it's found. In Christian music, we mentioned this last week, right Christian music refreshes the soul. I know this because, all right, as opposed, and he's slowly getting right, Pastor Parrish, but as opposed to Pastor Parrish, I love amusement parks. Now, I am getting older, you know, the up and down. Some of it's the smells, you know, the fries and the funnel cakes and all that. And I'm wanting to eat those things, you know, and so those smells, and then you eat some of them, and then you ride like four or five rides,
And somehow, all that mixing together just doesn't make you feel good anymore. But I love those rides. But you know what? At going to those amusement parks, you know what irritates me the most? It's the music. Man, I come away and I am wiped out. And it's not just because of the funnel cakes and the fries and the up and downs, I don't think. All right, that has a little bit to do with it. But man, they're just like, boom, boom, I mean, just the pounding of the music. How can that be refreshing? How can that be soothing? I mean, if it is, you know, I should probably catch one of those guys one time. All right, I should catch them. We should bring them in here and say, all right, so if I pound your head enough against this pulpit, you'll be refreshed. Let's do it. All right. And we just pound their head. All right. And we're like, hey, don't you feel better? But see, godly music should refresh the soul. And it does. That's why good music in church, it does lift you up. There is something about coming to church and, man, a hymn is sung, or a special is sung. And really, I mean, remember we talked about that last week. We got to get off this that, ooh, they missed a note. We work hard at our music. But it's about God. Man, singing some of the hymns and having a special song and it's praising God refreshes the soul. In the spirit. Let me review then a couple of things. Christian music should praise the Lord, not man. Christian music is for the Lord and not for the world. Christian music is a new song, not an old song. Christian music, the message should be clear. Where do I find that? 1 Corinthians 14, I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding. It's clear. It's not vain. It's not, I don't have to dig like, hey, oh, did they say Jesus? No. When you hear a Christian song, you should know it. You should know it's Christian. Christian music's message is clear. It's not vague. It's not sneakily coming in like, oh, it's about Jesus. Christian music should emphasize the message even. It's not really the music, it's not the musician. It's the message of, I'm praising God. And some people like the world, the CCM, guess what they're emphasizing? That music, aren't they? Man, that's great music. Oh, man, that musician. Oh, wait a minute. It's all about the message to God. Oh, it's not about you guys. Did you? I mean, just, all right, again, teenagers, I know you're going to be asking your parents now to be listening to CCM for like weeks. All right, I'm not asking you to, but if you look at it, just imagine walking up and be like, hey, everybody. Hey, just so you know, it's not about you. What? You know, I was talking to somebody last week, and do you know in the Christian world, you know how the, who was the guy? Was it Dick Clark? Dick Clark had the top 40 every week in the American Bandstand. Do you know that Christians, every week, there's a serious radio station, every week, there's America's Christian top 40. Wait a minute. So I thought it's not about you. I thought it's about evangelizing. No, it's not. Guess what it is? How do I get up higher? Oh, maybe if I come out to be gay. Yeah, you might in the world's view. But you know what? You're not going to be higher in God's view. Christian music emphasizes that message. Christian music is in the local church. It's not in a nightclub. And Christian music should feed the spirit, not the flesh. Christian music is dedicated to the Lord. Where do we find that? Speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what's sad? What's sad is that we find so much bad music that's out there. We find so much that God wants us to be lifting up each other in our church with godly music. And I'm glad that we can come and we can do that. University of Pittsburgh did a study a couple years ago. They took about 280 songs, the top songs on the radio. This is about 10 years ago. They looked at references to drugs and alcohol. And they wanted to see music that spoke favorably for them. Now guess what? Gangster rapsters. 80% of their songs, basically, it's okay to drink and do drugs. No shocker there. Country music had 37% of its music praising the wonders of alcohol. Rock had about 14%. Pop music had 7%. But think about this. This was only the references to drug and alcohol. It was not sexual misconduct. Can you imagine what it would be? We don't think that has an effect on people. I want to be in a church that sings God's music. And I want in my life godly music. One man put it this way. I don't want to make up my own hymns. A comfy mattress is our God. My hope is built on nothing much. I surrender some. Spirit of the living God, fall next to me. Take my life and let me be. But I think, you know what? Worldly music, CCM music, that's what it does. It lifts self. And self is crowned as number one. These artists, can you imagine saying that? Oh, I can't believe it. They've just made us anti-Christian. Really? Wow. It's unbelievable. Because they just want us to talk about Jesus. Well, I think your music is anti-Christian. I don't think it's godly. And if we are going to be a godly people that are spirit-filled, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What we need to determine, God, help us to have a desire for godly music. And what will help us have godly music? To have people that are spirit-filled. You don't have to say, oh, but how am I going to know? It goes back to what we've been teaching on. How are you going to know? Who can guide you into all truth? The Spirit. Who can lead you? Who can help you? Jesus left me alone. No, He didn't. He didn't leave you comfortless. You have somebody that can guide you. You don't have to be scared about the world and the world's music. No, you have the Holy Spirit that can guide you. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a new song in your heart. That new song is going to give praise to your Lord.